entertained? Are you not entertained? Is this not why you are here?
The water can flow or it can crash. Be water, my friend.
I didn't know when I was well off. All 12 of them.
No, sir.
All 13.
Let me see what you've got.
Why, you worm!
In all the years to come, in your most private moments, I want you to remember the one man who beat you.
I love you all, my sons.
I don't want to kill you. What would I do without you? Go back to ripping off mob dealers? No, no, no. No, you are complete.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? This is Sean.
Hey, what's going on, guys? This is Dylan.
Hi, this is Ship of War.
And this is Mark Romero.
And today we're going to be discussing Guardians of the Galaxy, the movie, which seems to be the big talk that's going on in theaters right now. So, first off, I want our guests to introduce themselves and talk about themselves for a little while. So, we can start off with Shipper. What's going on, Shipper? Let everybody know who you are.
Oh, I don't know about that. My name's Shipper War. I have a YouTube channel. I talk about a lot of comic book related things and movies in general, television, just basically anything doing with comic books and television and movies.
All right. Mark?
Yes. Hey, what's up, guys? My name is Mark, and I'm just an overall super comic book nerd and big Guardians fan. I just came back from San Diego Comic-Con, so going through a Comic-Con withdrawal, but Guardians kind of helped get me over it, so I'm excited to talk about it with you guys.
All right, so overall, guys, man, let's get right to it, man. What were your expectations when going in to see this film?
I'll start out first. I would say I was one of those people that wasn't super excited for this film because I really did not know much about the Guardians of the Galaxy. And when I remember when the first trailer dropped, I remember seeing it and being like, I don't know how I feel about this movie. I don't know whether or not I'm going to like it, but I'm like, it's Marvel, so I like all their movies. Even the ones that people normally do not like, I'm like, what's wrong with it? I like that movie. So it was like, you know, it was that feeling that I knew that I would probably like it, but I wasn't hyped for it for whatever reason. I didn't have, like, I saw, like, a lot of people online were just super excited for this movie, and I was just like, I wish I felt the way you guys felt, but I really don't. So, yeah.
Margaret.
Me? I'm a fan of the comic books, so I was super excited about this movie, and I follow James Gunn on Facebook and Twitter, and just seeing how much he cared for the movie, about, like, he always posts pictures of him with raccoons and stuff. So, you know, just the way he was posting and showing he really cared about the movie, I knew it was going to be in good hands. And I've just been super excited just following every little bit of news until the movie came out.
I know for me, when I first heard about it, I wasn't, I was up on a couple of the characters, but like I went into Guardians pretty much dry. But from all the trailers and footage that I had seen, I know that I was really excited because it looked like a mashup of Star Wars, Firefly, and the Ice Pirates, and I pretty much knew it was gonna, like Shipper said, it's Marvel, so I knew they were gonna hook me in no matter what. So, I had really high expectations. I'm not gonna lie.
I was really excited when I first heard that Marvel was going in this direction with this because fan of the comics, huge fan of Rocket Raccoon. And yeah, you know, I had faith that even though it might look risky, that Marvel was gonna really level it out with this. You know, I was just kind of like, well, is it gonna bring in that much money? Because I know a lot of people that are outside the comic book universe really just don't. They're like, oh, it's a talking raccoon, talking tree. Like, who's this guy, Chris Pratt? Like, what? But I mean, it did great for me, man. I loved the film, man. I loved it.
Well, yeah, like I have to say, I'm like one of those people who've never read any of the Guardians of the Galaxy comics or knew who they were prior to the movie. Like, I had no idea these guys existed, and my feelings towards it was like, I don't get it. Like, why is everybody so super excited for this? Like, I really didn't get it. But I went to the 17-minute preview that Marvel threw, and from that preview, when I saw Rocket and Groot, I was like, I know when I see the movie, I'm going to fall absolutely in love with those two characters, and that's how I feel. I think those two, like, definitely sold the show for this movie. For me personally, anyways.
Mm-hmm. Definitely for me too.
I loved
Rocket and Groot. I thought they were great. I think Bradley Cooper and Vin Diesel made a great double act. But to me, Batista stole the show as Drax the Destroyer.
I totally agree. Like, his comedic timing totally took me off guard, and I was totally impressed by it. He had, like, the best one-liners. He just killed it, I think.
Yeah,
wait,
like...
Overall?
No, I mean, it was just a surprise. Like, I didn't expect him to really be such, so likable in the movie, I guess, and just so funny.
I'm in the same boat, yeah.
I agree with that, because I've seen him in other things, like The Man with the Iron Fist, and he wasn't that great in that. And then I was like, I don't know how I feel about him as an actor. Like, he hasn't done anything that, you know, proved himself to me, so I was kind of worried about him being in the movie. But he proved himself. I think he had very good comedic timing, like you guys said, and I liked his character, too. He was pretty damn funny.
What's it called? He was also in the latest Riddick movie, and to me, I think like that's where he showed a bit of potential. And from there, I was like, I could see him doing something a little crazy. And you know, speaking of crazy, working for James Gunn, completely decked out in like green skin and red tattoos, like that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like I mean, Batista did a good job, but. For me, it would have to be Groot, man. I mean, like, Groot, I was discussing this before with Dylan when I said, like, you know, just when you're hearing, like, I am Groot, it's not, like, this straightforward, like, I am Groot throughout the whole thing. Like, there's emotion behind it. You can sort of understand what Groot is saying without actually understanding what he's saying, you know? And I felt that they did a great job putting that out there for moviegoers, you know?
Totally, yeah.
I agree.
They did a good job of making him like Mushmouth from Fat Albert. I really
That's a very good reference. Like after seeing the movie and seeing Groot, like you just wanted to go outside and just like hug a tree. Randomly. So adorable.
Are we allowed to discuss spoilers here? Or?
Yeah, we can definitely discuss spoilers.
Okay.
Yeah, that I don't know about you guys, but that scene totally like when he started wrapping his branches around the team and sacrificed himself, that totally just I don't know, it had me bawling, man, and my wife was crying too. It was pretty intense, man.
Yeah, that hit home for me too.
That was a powerful scene.
Same for me. Like I was tearing up. I had tears rolling down my cheek. I was like, where did these come from? Why am I crying? Okay, this is really sad.
Yeah, because it's like. I don't know, man. Like, it was an emotional scene. It was a powerful scene, especially visually. But in the back of my mind, I don't know. Probably because in the comic books, he's done this before. Like, you know, he blows himself up or something happens, and for me, I was just like, yeah, he's gonna come back, guys. Like, chill. Like, there were like kids crying in the screening. Like, mommy, like, he's gonna die. And I was like, he's gonna come back. Like, relax, it's all right. But it definitely I felt that Gunn did a great job making you care for these characters, and that's how you can tell a movie is great or like a movie is really good, when you're involved and you're pulled inside this fictional universe, and it's awesome, man. Like I love it, man. But yeah, Groot is definitely was my favorite besides Chris Pratt, because as soon as it came on, I mean, besides the scene where he was a kid, you know, the little sad part, I'm not going to say it was awesome, but when he landed on that planet and he put the Walkman on, you're just telling you, like, all right, well, he's just going to put the Walkman on and walk across, and Come and Get Your Love came on, he's like, come on, man, he's kicking the little lizards.
Yeah, that was great. Really set the tone for the movie.
It really did. It was a great intro, because you were like, it looks serious, and then it goes into that, and you're like, okay, now I know where they're going with this.
Yep. And like I was genuinely surprised at the emotional heft, because there was a lot of like it was very flippant, very devil may care, a lot like Star-Lord himself. But the movie itself was also like it balanced comedy and emotion in a way that I haven't really seen a blockbuster do in a while. Like, it didn't take itself too seriously, but it also had a lot of heart, especially thanks to Groot. Really, it was Groot, Rocket, and Star-Lord who brought a lot of heart to the movie, and I was that was a genuine surprise.
I completely agree with that. I thought the balance of emotion was just done right. And I think the reason why I didn't really care for the movie prior was because the trailer made it seem like it was too much of a comedy. It didn't make it seem like, you know, it was going to be a more serious film. And this film did have very dramatic, serious moments that gets to you, that does make you cry. And I wasn't expecting that. And that's what I think really got, you know, what really got me about the movie was that fact that they were so, they were able to balance everything so beautifully like they did.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
What James Gunn and Nicole Perlman did a great job on the screenplay. And I think I think Gunn in general was a really good choice for this kind of thing because his work with Troma and his stuff with like Slither and Super, like it makes a lot of sense to me that James Gunn would be put behind this, especially after Super. Like I got a lot of that vibe, except it wasn't quite that sad, you know?
Yeah.
The Super was pretty damn sad.
Yeah.
What did you think about the visuals though?
Gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
The 3D. Can we talk about the 3D in this movie?
Did you like the 3D?
I actually really did. And I'm one of those people that I'm not big on 3D. And the 3D in this movie took me off guard because there was moments that... Because I end up losing the 3D like 50 minutes into a movie most of the time. Uh-huh. And it kept coming back for me throughout the movie during different scenes. Like that one scene where Rocket is picking the grass. It actually literally looked like the grass was coming out of the screen. I was like, okay, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And also that scene where they're escaping from the prison, and you get kind of that point of view that you're in the ship. It kind of makes you feel like you're in one of those simulator rides at Disney or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like for me, I walked away and I was just like, oh shit! Like I forgot we just watched this in 3D. I think if there was any particular scene that really stood out to me is the scene where Gamora's in space and Star-Lord went out there to get her. Like I think the 3D worked for me there, but like any other scene, it just I can't like it doesn't click with me. I don't know, maybe because 3D is just wearing off on me.
Yeah, after a while, I feel like it does like kind of wear off, and you kind of forget that you're watching in 3D.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. So, anybody else think that Gamora got shafted here?
A little,
yeah, kind of. I agree with that.
Like just a little. I think it's because every single one of the characters, they all had like one particular affect, and they all just exemplified it like crazy. And Gamora just I guess Gamora definitely got shafted.
I mean, she's a freaking assassin, and
he was an afterthought.
Yeah, like for real. Like Gamora is an assassin. Okay, like it's not like she's just some regular assassin. She's a badass assassin. Like people. When they hear her name, they're not just like, oh, that's Thanos' daughter. They're like, well, yeah, well, we're not messing with her. She comes down, we're clearing out. And here, it was just like, she was just like, hey, I don't dance. I'm a warrior. Like, oh, this is music? Ooh, like it's just like, what? Like, what are you doing? Like, come on. If you can keep Black Widow's badass attitude and keep that with her her character, then why not stay true to Gamora's story, man? Her character from the comic books, why not translate that so well to film, but still keep it like that in the comics? Like, why even like it was just like she was so watered down that I just didn't care about her at all. I was just like,
yeah. I mean, I still got the impression that she kicked much ass, but I do agree that she could have been fleshed out a little bit more. I think pretty much anyone who wasn't Star-Lord, Drax, or Rocket didn't really get much more character development, which is fine, but like it would have been cool to see more from a lot of people, especially Gamora and Nebula too. Like they're both really cool.
So. Yes, like Nebula had more shine than Gamora did. Like I can't like I'm not gonna say like she was on screen more, but like her character and her hate towards Gamora felt more like, oh yeah, I'm getting a little bit, you hate her, but she's getting more love from Thanos. But then when Gamora's on screen, it's just like, ah, I'm a girl and I think I'm falling in love with Star-Lord. Like, it's so generic, man.
Yeah.
Like,
when Gamora was talking to Star-Lord, Peter Quill, about her, you know, her connection with Thanos, I was expecting them to do like a flashback of how she got involved with him. Because I know, I've read like some things about her, like he ended up like killing her race, and then he ends up adopting her and takes her in when she's a child. Like, I would have liked to see a flashback of that happening. kind of.
Yes.
Yeah, you get a more emotional connection as to why she doesn't like Thanos and why she is the way she is, and you know sympathize with her character. And they didn't have something like that for her particular character. While everybody else, they really pushed on that, you know, so-and-so, his family was killed, mm-hmm. Peter Quill, his mom died, and then Rocket Raccoon, you know, he was experienced, like, I don't know, his story was basically that he was a test, a science
lab. Yeah, he was like, they experimented on him and, like, tore him apart and put him back together. The only reason he looks like a raccoon is because they just chose, like, he looks like a raccoon now. I don't know, but, yeah.
So basically, you know, you got the sympathy for those characters because of that, while hers was just like, I want to get back at him because he destroyed my life. And it's like, okay, that's it.
Yeah, but it didn't seem, it didn't move along as fluid as I thought it would. Like, when she sent down there to capture Peter Quill, like, I felt like it happened too quick. Like, she's just like, oh, well, everybody's captured together. And then that, while they're in prison, she's like, yeah, well, I don't really want to capture you. I just want to escape and stop ruining. And it's just like, come on, man. Like, make her seem like she still wants to kill him. And then, you know, move it towards the end or the middle of the movie where it's like, ah, she sort of sees something in Peter where and the crew where it sort of changes over. But, like, to make it happen just like that, it was just like, you guys are moving kind of fast here, aren't you?
If I were to have one major problem with Guardians of the Galaxy, like I really can't think of any problem other than the fact that there's so much going on. Like, there's so much meat for people to chew on with the Nova Corps and Tantalor T'Vaan the Collector, and like there's just so much going on that not everything. Oh yeah, and what's it called? Yondu and the Ravagers. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so much going on that. They really can't focus on everything. And yeah, people like Gamora, people like Groot, people like whoever else just kind of, people like Nova Prime and Roman Day get left to the sidelines because they have so much ground to cover and they can only do it in so much time. I think this is definitely Marvel's lightest and breeziest movie in terms of story and plot since the Avengers. And that's both a compliment and not so much a compliment. I'm forgetting the alternative to a compliment, an insult, I guess. But yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, I don't know. I just felt like there could have been more, something more behind Gamora. Like that scene where, like I said, where she's talking to Peter and she's like, I don't dance, I'm a warrior. It's just
I just wanted a flashback with her. I think that would have been cool, a really nice twist to it.
Yeah. I could definitely agree with you because, again, like, people outside, you know, who don't read the comics are not going to, like, or people who don't do their would not research the movie beforehand, they're just sitting there like, oh, well, he destroyed it? Like, I mean, if you can give a backstory and show us a flashback about the gym, then you can definitely do that, or it would have been nice to see that for Gamora. But speaking about the gym, Thanos, man. I mean, come on, yo.
Yeah, man.
The reveal was so great. They. Thanos, I'm excited. That's all I have to say about it. I'm excited.
Yeah, that smirk that he gave, like right at the end, that was awesome.
That was cool. I think. What do you guys think about his CGI for his face? I mean, do you guys think it looks accurate? Because I've seen photos of, you know, Thanos on, you know, online and stuff like that. I'm not big on Marvel, as you guys probably are, but I'm aware of him. But I thought, like, the CGI that they used for him seemed a little bit too CGI. Like, I was expecting them to use kind of, like, prosthetic on Josh Brolin. Like, I was expecting, like, they would, you know, use, you know, some kind of, like, makeup of some kind rather than just, you know, CGI-ing his face.
And then they show him, like, his back facing Ronan in the chair. It was just like, come on, guy. Like, Marvel, really? Like, this is all you're going to get? Then he turned around. I was like, ah!
Yeah, me too.
I mean.
What's it called? If we're gonna be technical, he could have been a little more purple. No, just kidding. I think he looked cool. They got to me the best part about Thanos is that they got the chin right. Like, his chin looks like a fist. And they got that perfectly. So to me, like, you can do whatever the hell else you want with him, like, as long as he's purple in gold armor and he's got like a fist chin, I don't care. Do what you want.
I liked the voice. I mean, bro, like I always said when they first announced that Josh Brolin was gonna be doing the voice, like, I was like, great, because Josh Brolin has that voice where it's kind of intimidating. I mean, he has the look. His look is intimidating. You see Josh Brolin in the street, like, yeah, I'm across to the other side. Forget an autograph. Like, you're good, man. You can have this whole block to yourself. But him as Thanos, I mean, that's cool, man. I mean, hey, we didn't get him as Batman, so we got him as a badass villain. Like, it works out perfect for me, man.
Yeah, he's got that kind of voice that's extremely calm, but like, it's calm but gripping. Like, every time he opened his mouth and he was just like, I don't know, it was gripping, man. There was something about it that just got me, froze me in my tracks.
His words are like daggers, man. Like, he was talking to Ronan, chilling. Like, Thanos, he's that character where he's like, you know what, man? You can talk all the trash you want. I'm going to sit right here on my throne. I'm going to look at you. And then when I've had enough of listening to your crap, I'm going to hang up on you. He's like that friend that you got when you're on the phone. They're like, yo, man, you know what? I hate you, man. And you're just like, all right, man, you know, I'm tired. Just click.
He has nothing to worry about.
I love the way. Yeah, exactly. Because he's looking at Ronan, powered up and stuff, and he's just staring at him like, really, man? Like, you think that you can do so? He's like, I'm coming for you next. And Thanos is like, really? Like, let me end this call, man. You really ain't got nothing. Mark, man, I know that you're like a big Thanos fan because you have the gauntlet, man. So what, like, tell me, man.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm very jealous.
Yeah, I got the gauntlet at San Diego. And, yeah, they were selling this Infinity Gauntlet set, and it came with, like, some action figures, and I was stressing the whole week, because the line for the Hasbro booth was, like, around the booth and against the wall, and it was, like, no way I was going to get it, and then on Sunday, there was no line, so I ran up there to the booth and bought me an Infinity Gauntlet, and I snuck it past TSA and got it home safely.
Sorry, sir, you can't bring this on the plane.
Yeah.
What did you guys think about Ronan? Because I generally didn't see him as that much of not that much of a villain, but like as that much of a threat. Like, even with the gym, I was just like, really? Like, this is what we're getting?
I have to agree with that. Like, at no point did he, I feel like, yeah, they're going to have a lot of trouble with him. They're going to beat him. Regardless what he does, they're going to get him.
Yeah, same here. I didn't see him as threatening either, kind of like on the same level that I didn't feel like Malekith and Thor.
Exactly.
Well, mm-hmm. A lot of people seem to complain about that when Marvel films are like, your villains, like, they don't seem like they're very threatening or very, like, their character development for them is not anything that's really gripping. They're just always just there as a plot device, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if that's, like, a fault for Guardians of the Galaxy, it's basically that.
Like, to me, I think in general, Marvel is Loki is very iconic in the cinematic universe. Like, he's the watermark by which every single villain is going to be judged. And Ronan doesn't really like I really don't think Ronan has he doesn't have as much personality. He's not as much of a threat. He's not as interesting. And I do agree with you guys that, like, especially Mark mentioning the comparison to Malekith. That's exactly what I said after I walked out of the movie. I'm like, it was Malekith from Thor: The Dark World all over again. But, yeah, like, you know, like Loki stands very high above everything, and he's making it really hard for everyone who isn't Thanos, pretty much.
Yeah, because the thing with Loki is, like, he is a villain, but at the same time, he's almost like an anti-hero because he has that ability of being a nice guy, but then being that villain. So he has, like, balance of, like, the both worlds where you have the ability to like him and dislike him at the same time. And not many villains have that.
True.
Yeah, Loki's just got a lot more going on.
Yeah,
in general.
Exactly.
Yeah. So... Here's what I want to talk, because I know, Dylan, you wanted to see more from Nova Corp. Like, so what did you guys think about them overall? Like, did you feel like they were, like, kind of shoehorned in, or they were unnecessary? Like,
Well, personally, I think that they were incorporated really well. I just wanted to see more of them. That's all. That's all I have to say about it for now. Like, I just wanted more of them.
Me, I was pretty much indifferent because I don't know the Guardians of the Galaxy comics. So seeing them was like, okay, I guess they're there for a reason. What reason they're there for? Let me see. Let me continue watching the movie. So it wasn't like something like I wanted more of or less of. It's just they were just there.
Yeah, I think they served their purpose pretty well. I mean, I kind of wanted a little hinting that, you know, Nova, Richard Rider was going to be in the upcoming sequel or whatever, you know. But, you know, maybe that's what the sequel's for. Maybe we'll see more of them in the sequel. So,
speaking of the sequel, at the beginning of the film, well, actually, let me touch upon a comic. In the comic, we get a lot more of a bigger introduction of Peter Quill's father. Here in this film, they sort of took that away by having Yondu abduct him, and then having, you know, at the end they mentioned his father. Do you think that we're gonna get the whole, you know, Peter Quill's father in the second one? And if they do introduce him in the second film, how do you think he's gonna be in? Is he gonna be sort of like the antagonist, or do you think he's just gonna be just there to be there?
That's kind of hard to say. I really don't have much of an answer for that. I do know that a lot of people are under the impression that the next movie is gonna be called War of Kings. Guardians of the Galaxy, War of Kings, so maybe that has something to do with Peter Quill facing off against his father. That's really the only theory I've got.
Yeah, I've heard that too. Yeah, I mean, they're kind of hinting that he'll probably be in the sequel because they, you know, they scanned Peter Quill's body, they scanned him at the end and said that he's, like, half alien or whatever, and there's a chance that they're going to explore that more in the sequel. But, yeah, I've heard the whole War of Kings rumor as well, and trying to think, I don't know if he'll be the main villain. I'm kind of hoping that maybe Kang the Conqueror will be a villain.
Yes. Ooh. Yes.
If only.
Yeah. And I think he might have the time gem. Yeah.
That would be awesome. Yeah.
If anyone was gonna have the time gem, it would definitely be Kang the Conqueror, because Kang the Conqueror is an Avengers villain. So yeah, totally. I can see that working.
But do you think if they were to stick with this title, you said War of Kings, do you think that would be a little too soon? Or would you like to see a new villain that's created for the cinematic universe rather than somebody that we already know?
I'd be fine either way. If there's any property in the cinematic universe that they would use to create a new villain, I think the Guardians of the Galaxy would be the best fit because not very many people know about it, and they could really feel free to do whatever. But I'd be fine with either Peter Quill's father serving like the Thanos role as the guy behind the scenes, or even as a full-on antagonist. I could see it working both ways.
So what did you think about Yondu? Because I thought he was, Michael Rooker was fucking badass, man.
Yeah, man.
I gotta agree. He was awesome.
He was great.
Like, that scene at the end where he, like, all the soldiers are surrounding him, and he just whistles, and the thing.
Oh.
I was like, oh my god, man.
Easily one of the best scenes in the movie.
Yes, that was...
Yeah, that blew me away.
Hands down, one of the best scenes in the movie. Like, my theater just completely, like, erupted when that happened.
Yeah, same.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, I hope that they keep him there for a sequel and we see more from him, you know, especially since it looks like, especially when he got shafted at the end, like, he's sitting there and he opens it up, he's just like, yeah, it's all right, I'll see you in the sequel.
Yeah, and what's it called? Yondu was also the guy who mentioned Quill's father, so exactly. Quill is probably going to wind up going to him and asking him about his father anyway, so this isn't the last we're going to see of Yondu, I don't think.
Hopefully not.
Yeah, because like I said, he was a badass. We spoke about Nebula earlier. Like, did you guys feel that she was necessary at all?
She got no screen time, really. Like, she showed up and had a couple of lines, and then had like a really lame fight scene with Gamora that I was really disappointed by. And like, all we really know about her is the fact that she's also a warrior and she's also Thanos' daughter. But it's like, she's one of the characters that I really wanted to see more of. we didn't really learn much about her beyond the fact that she's really sad about being the redheaded stepchild of the family. So
she's the Jan Brady of the bunch.
I did like that scene when Thanos said that about her, and she's like, "Thank you, Father," like the way she said it sarcastically. But I feel like she was there as like a plot device, even though she was really cool looking. Like, I love the makeup they used for her. Like, she was a really cool looking character.
Oh, totally. I love the makeup on her. That was great.
Maybe she'll have a bigger role in the second film.
I really hope so.
Hopefully, because we're definitely not getting Ronin, so.
That guy.
I mean, like, give Lee Pace credit where credit's due. Lee Pace did fine. Like, he really did wring as much personality out of Ronin as he possibly could have, and I do think that he's he was one of the coolest looking characters in the film from a purely visual standpoint. Like the whole war paint and blue skin and military judge.
I don't know, man. Like, I just saw him. He was just like some regular dude with a hooded cloak, and I was just like, all right, like, show me how badass you can be. Like, yeah, he fought Drax, but it was just like, that's it, buddy. Like, that's what you're bringing to the table. And at the end, when he got to gym, it was just like, like, I wanted to see Ronan go, like, out. Wow, that would have been funny. I wanted to see Ronan go off with a big bang, but wow.
Like actually destroy a planet.
Yeah.
And then continue on to, what planet was it that they ended up on? I don't know the name of it.
Zendar?
Zendar, like, it could have been, like, you know how in Star Wars, they destroy the planet that Leia's from? And you can see, like, you know, Darth Vader isn't messing around, like, you know, he's going to destroy a planet. Like, they needed to have him do something really dramatic to really set the tone of him as a villain, and they didn't really have him do that.
Yeah,
and I wanted him to use his tagline from the comics, you know, when he says, like, you are accused.
He did say you stand accused when he was about to destroy Zandar, but that's as close as we got.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, be a badass, man. You're Ronan the freaking Accuser. Like, when they first said that Ronan was going to be the bad guy for this film, I was like, all right, yes. And then when I'm sitting here watching him, I can understand why Thanos just hung up on him. It was just like, like, it was just like, really, dude? Like, come on, man. You're all talk. Forget that.
And he was one of the later announcements of who was going to be in the movie, right? Like, he was a surprise for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I remember something like that. Yeah, okay.
What did you guys think about the collectors, when they showed the collector's room, like, everything in there, like, how it looked and everything, and Benicio Del Toro's acting in the film as the collector? Like, what did you think about that? Even though it was short.
Absolutely perfect casting. They couldn't have picked anybody better. Like, Benicio Del Toro is that weird dude who could really bring that out. Also, I'm going to completely freak out here for a minute, because I noticed he had a Chitauri. He had a dark elf. And I saw it for a second time. He had Mojo in one of his boxes.
Oh, he did?
Wait, he had Mojo in one of his boxes. Are you sure?
I'm absolutely positive. It was a big yellow blob, and I think I might have seen one of his hands. Like, it had to be Mojo.
No, I doubt it was Mojo. Like, did it have the little cybernetic dreads?
You couldn't see his head, but, like, it was like a yellow body, like a really big, obese yellow body. Like, who else would it be?
I don't know, Mother Brain?
Mojo be owned by Fox, though?
Yeah, I was about to say that. Exactly what I was about to say. Like, isn't he part of the X-Men? Like, I know the X-Men. Like, if we talk about the X-Men, I'll get on that. But isn't he part of the X-Men? I think Fox owns it. I don't think Marvel has
Good point.
It's probably Mother Brain.
But, like, I just want to watch the movie again just so I could see the collector's room again, just, like, you know, try and take it. It was hard to take in everything during the movie, but, yeah, he definitely had some cool stuff in there. And they, I think in articles online, they said that, like, there's a lot of stuff in his room that's going to be used in the future, possibly.
I figured.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Well, the other thing about his room is that it was very different from that end credit scene for the Thor movie.
Yeah.
It looks like they actually put some work into that. It looked grand. It looked humongous. Well, in that end credit scene, it looked like a very tiny area. So that was
like a green room.
Yeah.
Like a greenhouse.
I'm really hoping, though, when that whole explosion happened, I'm really hoping that Warlock busted out of the cocoon. What do you guys think?
Oh! Yeah. You mean Adam Warlock, right?
Adam Warlock, yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah, I want that.
That would be awesome.
And, speaking of the collector's room, let's talk about that post-credit sequence. Howard the Duck is finally coming back.
Hopefully. I mean, do you guys think that, first of all, like, has everyone here seen the original Howard the Duck movie?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I haven't had the video game for Commodore 64.
Oh, man.
Do you guys think that Marvel would take a chance at bringing Howard the Duck to the big screen?
I believe so, especially after this movie and the tone of it. I think Guardians of the Galaxy had a very Howard the Duck tone to it. If they continue that tone with Howard the Duck, it will work perfectly. And also, I mean, right now, Marvel's in the position where they can put out any movie and just put from Marvel Studios and it's going to make money. Like,
you know?
So they can take that chance and do a Howard the Duck movie the way it should be done.
I mean, the way it should be done, because the original one was kind of raunchy. I mean, he's in the bed, you know, like,
yeah. Well, Howard the Duck, Howard the Duck in general is a very raunchy comic book. So I don't know. That's bring up a good point, because will Marvel be willing to do a rated R Howard the Duck movie?
Or I don't know, because it's Disney.
Oh, that's right.
I think
because little kids will look at it and they'll be like, "Oh, that's Donald! Like Donald's in the bed with a girl."
That didn't stop us from watching Howard the Duck.
Oh, hell no!
True.
When we were kids, I remember watching that movie when I was like 5 years old and being like, "What?
For real?
About a duck?"
to me, I think. What's it called? I was just talking about this with Sean recently. Like, I think Disney is starting to get a little more risque with their material, and they're starting to lighten up a bit. So I think that we could definitely get like a PG-13 Howard the Duck movie and have it be a little raunchy, especially after like did you guys see Maleficent?
Yes, with the rape scene that they applied. Yes.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to see that.
Disney's growing up. I think they're starting to realize that everything can't be like Norman Rockwell anymore, and like a Howard the Duck movie would be a great way for them to break the mold. Like, they proved with Guardians that they can really just put their stamp on anything, like Shipper said, and people are gonna come see it, because like Guardians is really obscure. Like even most hardcore Marvel heads didn't know who the Guardians were until the movie came out. So like they proved. Especially because they're projecting like a $70 million opening weekend, so...
Actually, it's $95 million at this point.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, they updated the box office projection to $95
million. Marvel's coming out on top, so this gamble paid off critically and commercially, so I can definitely see an Adam Warlock movie happening, a Howard the Duck movie happening. I could even see them like reaching really far in and grabbing like Drax's daughter, Moondragon, or something.
Yeah.
I think that would be crazy. And maybe, just maybe, Fox would be willing to give up the X-Men so we can finally...
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
It's not, but I really wanted to.
Listen, like, they Fox... made so much money off of the last X-Men movie, they're not giving that up.
Yeah, and like, the sad thing is, Days of Future Past was just okay.
No.
It was just okay.
You're going to piss people off with that comment.
Sorry, but... Like, oh.
Not that I disagree with you, though.
I didn't like it that much.
Okay. Yeah. There was too many contradictions in the movie. Like, I don't want to get into it. We'll get into another podcast about that.
Sorry for that digression. That just needed to be said.
Nah, it's perfectly fine. I mean, but yeah, I guess I'm thinking from how the 80s movie was made and how raunchy it was, would Disney be like, hey, you know what, let's go for it, man. Just go all out there and just throw Howard the Duck back out there again, and
Well, yeah. In the post-credit scene, they show him drinking, so you can tell that, you know, he is not the, he's not, you know, Donald the Duck or anything like that. The original one was good for its time, even though it was bad at the same time.
Yeah. I still love watching it, that's all I know. George Lucas doesn't have the right to speak about a lot of things, so...
Well, here's my question, though. You think the way the Guardians of the Galaxy looks, like, world-wise, you think that would transition well with the Avengers, with the way they look and just their world and just, you know, Earth? Like,
yes.
Would it look awkward? Because, like the last Thor movie, when the elves were running around London, it felt really awkward for me. Like, I remember thinking they look like the characters from the Power Rangers, what were they called? you know what I'm talking about? The people...
I forget.
I can't think of their names, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, the ones the Power Rangers always fight. I want to say they're like the putty people, clay people, whatever, I can't remember their names. But that's what they reminded me of when they were running around London. It just seemed very like off-putting seeing those type of characters in a world like Earth, in modern Earth. Whatever reason,
What's it called? I think that are you talking about the Guardians themselves, like Star-Lord, Groot, and all of them?
Yeah, like them being with the Avengers.
I'm actually interested to see how like the planetary displacement would manifest for Star-Lord and Rocket Raccoon, because Rocket's never seen a raccoon before. Like, remember in the movie when Chris Pratt calls him a raccoon and he's like, "What the hell is a raccoon?"
Yeah.
Like,
that'd be very cool.
Like seeing him show up and be like, "Oh wow, these are what raccoons are," and like, oh, what's it called? Star-Lord was spirited off of Earth 20 years ago. There's been a lot of technological advances. Like seeing him readjust to his home world. Like, I think the displacement would be really interesting in the way that, like, Captain America's time displacement was interesting in the Avengers, personally.
But didn't you see that as being kind of repetitive if they went that route again? Because you'd be like, oh, we saw this with Captain America already. Like,
maybe. It's to me, anyway, it's on a different level. It could definitely be seen as repetitive if they play it the same way. Like, if they make that the entire basis of their character. Because like that's the entire basis of Steve's character in the current Marvel universe. But I think I can think of a couple different ways they could make it not seem so homogenous.
What would you guys give it overall on a scale to 1 to 5?
I guess I'd say like a 4, probably even a 4.5. There are so few things objectively wrong with the movie. I really, 4 to 4.5.
I actually really agree with that. I was torn between a 4 and a 4.5. I would go with 4. Mm-hmm. I would go with a 4.
I'm going to go with 4.5. It was just a fun time. Probably the most fun I've had watching a movie in a while. And it had more fun, more humor, more, maybe just about the same action as Avengers, and it was just overall enjoyable. If I didn't have to compare it to any other movie before this, I would say 4.5. Yeah.
So, again, thank you, Mark and Shipper, for joining us. And this is Sean from 4GLU.
This is Dylan from 4GLU.
This is Shipper from Shipper War.
And this is Mark from my mom's vagina.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
At least he's honest.
Yeah. I can't, man. I can't. All right, guys. Have a good one, man. Right. Later. Bye.